If you're a pro, you know that this is not efficient because you know there's a better way. There's also a better way to save. When pro customers buy building supplies in bulk at Lowe's, they save up to 20% every day. Buy in bulk and save up to 20% on concrete, gypsum, and gypsum accessories. At Lowe's, buy more, save more. Visit the Pro Desk or lowesforpros.com for details. Discount applies to contractor pack items. Minimum purchase required. U.S. only.
You are Locked On Eagles, your daily podcast on the Philadelphia Eagles, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
All right, good afternoon. Welcome to the Locked On Eagles podcast. I'm Teron Davenport, your host, here to bring you another edition. That's right. We provide you with 15 minutes of Eagles talk every day, Monday through Friday. That's what we do. You are now tuned in to the Locked On Eagles podcast. And here we go, folks. Vikings versus Eagles. This is something that we have to talk about when you talk about the Minnesota Vikings, and that's the defense. So that's going to be the topic of discussion today. And just looking statistically, they have been able to do a lot on defense as far as their rankings, as far as just what they've been able to do on the turnover side of things. First and foremost, we talked about the offense yesterday, right? And it became clear they do not turn the football over. They play very efficient football. On the flip side, this is a team that they're plus 11 in turnovers, you know, and that's a testament to that defense, what they've been able to do. Mike Zimmer brings them in, and he's a very disciplined coach. He definitely preaches creating turnovers. He loves that inside blitz, the double A gap blitz, and just looking at total defense, the Vikings are number two in the NFL. They're allowing 286 yards per game, 87, excuse me, second only to the Seattle Seahawks, who, go figure, they're always in the mix for that part of things as far as the total defense. Then when you look at rushing per game, 77.8 yards per rushing, that gives them number four ranking in the NFL. So this is a team that they know what they want to do. They want to stop you from running the football, and they want to make you turn it over. So that's what you get when you're looking at the Vikings. Passing-wise, they're nothing to you know scoff at either. They're number six in the NFL as far as yards per game are allowed, 209.8 yards passing per game. They've allowed four touchdowns, seven interceptions. So another thing that they do is limit the big play. Only one team has a play of 40-plus yards against the Vikings. So this defense likes to get after you up front. They have the guys in the secondary to do some things as well. You got Michael Kendrick's brother, Eric Kendricks, who's playing outstanding football. He's actually among the best at the linebacker position this year. So that's something else to take a look at. Overall, just from front to back, this Vikings team is solid on defense, as well as at the coordinator. Well, in essence, Mike Zimmer is the coordinator. It's his defense. But you look at what Harrison Smith, we'll start from the back end and work our way in. Harrison Smith, as the safety, 37 solo tackles. He also has a sack. He's a guy that's very sound. You rarely see him get beat deep. And his contract is actually one that I compared Malcolm Jenkins as well as Rodney McLeod's contract too, because he signed it soon after they did. So we had to look at all of those together. And Harrison Smith is one of the best safeties in the NFL. He's, if you remember how Eric Weddle was as far as rarely getting beat deep and always coming up and making plays against the run, he's pretty much a younger version of Eric Weddle. That would be my comparison, the way that you could look at his game. And, of course, Weddle is the multiple Pro Bowl player for the San Diego Chargers, now with the Baltimore Ravens. We'll get an up-close look at him later on this year. But just looking at the secondary again, you look at Trey Waynes, an up-and-coming corner. He's someone I wasn't crazy about just because of his ball skills and his likeness for holding. He's definitely a very physical corner, despite not being the biggest guy. He will grab from time to time, but he's done well in coverage. And then you also look at Terrence Newman, another guy who, man, he's an ageless wonder, a back in the day, a throwback NFC East foe when you look at his time with the Dallas Cowboys. So he's back in Philadelphia to go against the Eagles, and the guy just doesn't age. And he still has speed to turn and run with a lot of receivers. So we'll see what he's able to do on the outside. I definitely think that if they could get that max protection, they could take a shot deep against him with Nelson Aguilar. So we'll see what happens there. But we have to talk about Xavier Rhodes, who in my book is one of the top five cover corners right now. And he's someone that doesn't get much press, but he just goes in and he shuts down the opposing receiver. Just take a look at what he did against Odell Beckham and the Giants. So those are the guys to look at in the secondary, all of which are outstanding. And when I see these guys, you know, again, I go mostly to Xavier Rhodes as the standout, but you have to take a look at Harrison Smith, too, a guy that's just come in and been lights out for them in the back end. Now, the opposite safety position, you know, is a guy that, he's really just that, a guy, Andrew Sendejo. They do have Jaron Curse backing him up, but, you know, Sendejo is just a, he's just that. He's a guy. I mean, he doesn't bring much to the game as far as, like, being a special player or anything like that, but he's able to exist in that secondary with those other guys that are really good, you know, Terrence Newman, Trey Waynes, Harrison Smith, Xavier Rhodes. Now, looking at the linebacker core, I think this is where you really start to see this team coming to its own. Anthony Barr has been one of the better rookie linebackers, the better younger guys. He was outstanding last year, and then this year he's off to a very good start as well. So he's someone to take a look at, a very high tackle guy, as well as Eric Kendricks. Eric Kendricks is second on the team in 36 tackles, and it's interesting when you watch him and Michael Kendricks play. You know, these guys are obviously brothers. But when you see Eric Kendricks play, it's just more of a want to tackle. That's what I see from him. And it's a shame because I've said it over and over again. Michael Kendricks, if he dedicates himself to it and really knuckles up and does what he has, he could be one of the best linebackers. He is so athletic. It's sickening how athletic he is. And outside of Sproles, pound for pound, I don't know if there's a better athlete on the team. But the Vikings, in this case, have the good Kendricks, and he's someone that's holding things down in the middle. Chad Greenway continues to be a top-level player as well. And it's interesting, they drafted a guy, Cantrell Brothers, out of Missouri, and he was a guy that I felt the Eagles could have used as far as depth. I actually made the comparison to a Stephen Tulloch, and lo and behold, look who they signed, Tulloch. But anyhow, those three linebackers, I think I will put them up against most 4-3 linebacking groups. I think they're very solid. And then when you look at the defensive line, now this is where things get very interesting for the Vikings. This is where they're able to really just damage teams. They have 19 sacks. Three of their guys have four or more. Linval Joseph has three himself, so this is a team that's able to, they could do a lot up front. And when you look at Danielle Hunter, this guy's like he's built like a greyhound, you know, and he's someone that they use to get him on that edge and allow him to get that edge pressure and use his speed to track down the quarterback. He has four sacks on the year. Then Everson Griffin is just a mix of everything you want as far as a pass rusher. He has the tenacity, the get off. He has the strength. He has the footwork, the speed, agility, the technique, everything that you want. He has four sacks on the year. Brian Robeson is a guy that they use inside and outside. He has four sacks also. But you'll see them use something like a NASCAR package where they'll put Hunter on the outside and they'll let you you know, worry about him. But then you have Robeson on the inside and the Linval Joseph, who he has three sacks, but he's one of the strongest guys in the league, man. When you talk about just getting up underneath an offensive lineman and driving him back, he's able to do that very, very well just because of his strength. And just to give you an example of the strength that he brings, back in the combine, this was a while ago, he had 39 reps on the bench, 225. So the strength is there. It's definitely clear. And you see that when you look at him. You also have the hometown guy coming in the mix, Sharif Floyd, out of Philadelphia. He's someone that he was limited in practice. Actually, he did not practice. He had the knee injury, but he's a former first-round pick, and he's a guy that they use in the rotation also. So you'll see different looks. And what they like to do is get that interior pressure. You know, they blitz those gaps, and then they'll drop Harrison Smith down and blitz him off the edge. So you get multiple looks. The running backs are going to have to make sure that they, you know, block closest man to the quarterback first and work their way into the backfield, out of the backfield, you know, into the flats on some of those throws that Wentz is going to have to use just to get the ball out quick. Because this team, like I said, they get after the quarterback. That 19 sacks is definitely a big number. And that's something that, you know, a lot of teams have not been able to do. So when you look at what the Vikings bring, they bring a complete unit. And the team plays with discipline as well. I mean, these are guys that aren't penalized much, and their game is just getting after the quarterback, stopping you from running, forcing turnovers, and they're going to look to keep the game, you know, like a ball control type of thing. They're offensively, we talked about them yesterday, what they do. They work their way down the field. They're not worried about making the big chunk plays. If it's there, obviously they'll take it, but their whole game is basically what I felt the Eagles needed to do. Ironically, with Bradford, when we talked about this team in training camp, and that was being pack and play. You have strong defense, you don't turn the football over, and you work the time of possession. And that's what the Vikings have been able to do. It's how they've gotten to their 5-0 record. Sack-wise, just to look at some stats here, their 19 sacks ranks them tied with the Cardinals for third in the NFL. Now, the Bills are 20th, and the Broncos are 21st. In comparison, the Eagles are their 10th with 14. The Redskins surpassed them with their 5 sacks last week. That pushed them to 16 and put them at 6. But, you know, the Eagles have 14 sacks on the year, and we all know how much they like to get after the quarterback. So you have to take a look on the opposite side. This Vikings team, they're gonna bring it. Offensive line is going to have to really step up. They're going to look to confuse coverage, you know, confuse Carson Wentz with their different coverages. And I think you're going to see something similar to what you saw last week as far as them, the opposing team, the defense, looking to take away the first and second reads. Now, if you watch the All-22, you will have seen how Zach Ertz was open on a lot of plays, and Carson Wentz was looking to get the football down the field and not really taking what the defense is going to give them. I think that's going to be exactly what's going to be there for him this week against the Vikings. I think Zach Ertz is due for a big game. Dorial Green-Beckham is another one they're going to work to get involved. And it's time to get Darren Sproles more touches also. 4 touches last week was not acceptable. So when you look at these attacking type of defenses, you have to attack them back, but use their aggressiveness to a fault almost. So how do you do that? Screens, play action, crossing patterns, misdirection runs. These are the things that they're going to need to do. The dives. And, well, you know, the dives might be difficult to do against that A-gap, you know, blitz. But it just depends on how things work out. Because in certain cases, the linebackers will have that interior blitz and they'll run themselves right out of the play. So they'll run right by the running back or, you know, with them screaming through that gap, you can make a move on them, make a miss. And now you're at that second level and guys like Sproles, Smallwood, they can make something happen when they get there. So those are the things that you'll want to look at when you're looking at this defense. Like I said, that defense is outstanding. We just went over just unit by unit on the team, and they're solid all throughout. There are no weaknesses when you're looking at this team. Everything you want in a defense, that's what they bring. So it's going to be a very tough task for Carson Wentz and this Eagles offense. We'll see what happens. We'll be back tomorrow just to bring you another edition of this Locked On Eagles podcast. Again, Monday through Friday, 15 minutes. You don't get it anywhere else. Be sure to tune in every day. Subscribe on iTunes or the Locked On Eagles podcast, Audio Boom as well. I am Teron Davenport. You can follow me on Twitter at @TDavenport_NFL, as well as the EaglesWire.USAToday.com. That's the show. We'll be back tomorrow.
Is democracy in danger or decline? Condoleezza Rice, William Galston, and Carlos Gutierrez and others take on this question in the fall edition of The Catalyst, a journal of ideas from the Bush Institute. Surveys show Americans place less trust in institutions like the media and business. Others contend America has faced far more challenging periods and emerged strong. Leading policymakers, Bush Institute experts, and respected journalists take on this debate. Read about it at bushcenter.org/catalyst.